Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Well, praise the Lord. Once again, tonight that we come before the Lord with great joy in our hearts. We thank God for everything that He has said and what God is doing for us through us and by us. The more we trust God, the more we can believe God. And so God wants us to know that He is the one that will make us to know that He is God all by Himself. Tonight that I just want to say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To God be the glory. And I just know God like our God. And see, when we rise up in obedience, God will bless us.
can reach us at any time while we're on the air tonight at 347-850-8955. Again, that's 347-850-8955. And if you would like to know more details about 5252 Ministries, you can contact us on our website at 5252ministries.org. Or you can email us from that website also, or our telephone number is there also. And you can always go to our website, and we're going to have our shows on there if you didn't get to listen to them tonight, but we're going to have them archived on there just for you. Also, if you want to sign in on our guest book, we'd love to hear from you. So check us out. And we also have some really great guests tonight, and I'll go over that with you here in a minute. But first, I'd like for us to get caught up on what 5252 Ministries is doing this month out in the streets. This coming weekend, we're going to be at Loaves and Fishes downtown Houston. We're going to have 5252 White Linen Dinner. That's where we serve anywhere between 250 to 400 homeless people on the street in the evening time. And what we do, we serve them. We don't let them get in the line. We let them sit down. We have white linen tablecloths. We have flower arrangements for them. We have their food already. We have servants. Like, we go to a restaurant, we want them to be served from us. We want to be the servants for them that night. And so we're going to serve them their food, their dessert, and their everything. And then we're going to have church. And then we're going to have a wonderful guest speaker there. We do that every single Saturday night. We have something going. But this is White Linen Weekend. So if you can make it out, give us a call. It's also on our website, or you can catch us at 5252 Facebook. So anyway, let's get on to the, before we do anything, we're going to have an opening prayer, as we always do, because we know that right now, if we had, that we need Jesus to bless ministry and bless his radio station. Father God, we just come together right now, Father God, for you, just to please just come and be present in this broadcast tonight, Father God. We're on the radio tonight trying to reach millions across the world, our brothers and sisters that are in need of just hearing your word, Father God. We just thank you so much for all the things you're doing for us, Father God. We know that you're a mighty God, and we're just praying right now for our nation all over the world. We pray for our nation to repent, Father. We repent in Jesus' name. Father God, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Father, please forgive us. Please forgive us and heal our land, Father God. Show us what to do. I pray tonight for anyone out there that's hurting or abused or doesn't know what to do out there all across the world, Father God, that you just give them a sign in their heart to know they have peace in their heart, to know that they can lean on you and direction from you, Father God. We just pray for all anyone out there with all addictions to any drugs or alcohol, gambling, food, or whatever it is, Father God, to be healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name, Father. I pray for our children that are all across the world that are hungry, Father God. I pray for our schools and our neighborhoods, and we want to take them back, Father, and just show us how to do that where we can just repent and take everything back that's been taken from us. Or Father God, we love you, and we know that you are with us. And so show us and guide us, Father God, that we can get through all that, Father God, because we need to rise up the army you have going and just get together and go out for you, Father God, for your kingdom, for you. I pray for people out there right now that are homeless on the streets across America. Father, you know how my heart is for the homeless, Father God, and the people that are in need. Father God, I'm just so thankful for the times we get to go out and minister to them. I'm thankful for the missions across the world that people in and try to help them from their habits and hang-ups and addictions, Father God. I just pray for all of them to seek a mission in our area, Father God, so they can have guidance and not be homeless any longer, for them to get just blessed by you and just cured by you, because you're the one that can come in and just change your life. Full restoration upon their bodies right now in Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you. And I know that there's healing out there needed right now, so I pray whoever's listening to this tonight, that there's any need they have healing in Jesus' name, that Jesus comes down and puts his love you. Father, we just thank you so much for this evening. And my heart cries out for all of the Iraq and all the ones overseas, the Middle East and everyone going through these horrible things with ISIS, Father God. I just pray right now that ISIS just stop and go away, right? They have to know that you're God, you're mighty, anything going on, and that you love them. And we have to pray for our enemies, and it's hard. But Father God, we right now come together as a nation to pray against that, Father God, so it can cease and go away, Father God. In Jesus' name, all things can happen in your name, Father. So we just declare it done. Jesus' name. We all come together, and all the brothers and sisters are listening to this. I hope that you all just say amen with me right now. Amen. Woo! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, I have a wonderful guest on the line with me. I met him over a year ago. His name is Roy Tolman. in Tucson, Arizona. Roy, are you there?
I think I am. Are you there?
I'm here. Well, I just want to tell my husband, you're so awesome. I tell you what, you and your wife were so gracious to us, me and my assistant Kathy, we're out there. We just want to tell you, we had a blast out there. We can't wait to come back. But let me tell you a little bit about Roy. Yes, I want to. He got involved back in 1986, a long time ago, you know, and he's really awesome. Right now he's the executive director up there. He started out being on the board of directors, now he's gone up there, and he's been on the executive director since 2000. Isn't that right, Roy?
That is correct. It's been a wonderful ride.
Yeah, it has. I know that it has for you. So things I wanted to ask you about, I want you to tell me a little bit about your background just a little bit, and then, you know, how you kind of got there. And I know you have a lot of other wonderful things that you did. You worked with the Tucson Commission on Addiction, and you worked through the Mayor's Commission on Poverty, and you've worked on a lot of things, the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America. You really have a really long list of wonderful things you've done throughout your career, and I know that you've helped so many people because I've seen you in action. It's amazing. But just tell us a little bit about how you got where you are, and tell me a little bit about the programs you have going on right there at the Mission.
Well, Sammy, I do have kind of a long list of resume because I'm old, and when you're old, you tend to do a lot of things along the road of life. God's been good, but I've basically been in social service work my whole life. Started with youth at Big Brothers Big Sisters as a volunteer while I was in college as a mentor to a young man. Still our friends. He's now 51 years old, so it's been a long time. I met him when he was 10, and we still get together. And then I became, I got on their board of directors and then went from the board to the staff at Big Brothers. And the Lord moved me out of that after about 13 years to go into ministry work. And so I worked at a private Christian school for 7 years. And I was on the board of directors of the Mission at that time, as well as when I was at Big Brothers Big Sisters. And I just felt God was moving me to the Mission, and I really never wanted to work here. In fact, when I was on the board, we used to come and preach as board members at the Mission, and I couldn't preach to the men. I didn't know how to talk to them. I'd worked with youth my whole life. I've worked with education and prevention, not with people that have addiction problems, felonies, drug addicts, prostitutes. That's not the folks I was comfortable working with. And God, with his sense of humor, moved me from Big Brothers to ministry, from that Christian school ministry here at the Mission. And it's been wonderful to be here. But this Mission was started in 1953. So it's been in Tucson a long time. And we're very well known and respected in the community. And we have a men's shelter and long-term recovery program, residential treatment, as well as a program for women and women with children for shelter, as well as a recovery program for them, one that's a six-month program and one that's a year to a year-and-a-half program, a longer program. And then the other third thing we do is what we call outreach, community outreach, where we do food boxes, clothing, household goods free to our neighbors. Anything that gets donated here, we give out free. We don't have a thrift store. So we're able to just be a flow through and bless others with the things that God blesses us. But those are the main areas of ministry of our shelter and our recovery program and our outreach.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was out there and I got to go to all your facilities you had there. And I tell you what, I went through set to 74 missions this last year. And I got to say, you're right there on the number one, I mean, the most organized and have everything so awesome. Everything was so easy. The flow of everything was so well done, and I know that's under your leadership that you did that, and I know that you have a great team that works together there, because I've met most all of them, and so it makes a big difference when you have a team like you have, too.
Now, that's right. God just brought the right people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He always does. He says, go forth, and he'll bring the people. If it's God's in it, you're going to win it, right?
That's right.
Okay, so tell me about some of the stats of the homelessness in the Tucson area, and then how many youth service in there for that stay overnight or in a program, or you know how many just come in and out and eat, and that's it.
Sure. So here's some basic numbers. In the Tucson community, it's estimated that there are between 4,000 and 5,000 adult homeless people every night. Some are couch surfing. Some are living in the desert. We have deserts out here. They don't really have a lot of bridges. Not a lot of water. but they live in the desert and or in their cars. And there are several shelters in town. We're the largest. There's also a Salvation Army and a secular shelter for men as well here in this community to help house them. But I believe there's only about 800 beds total in the community, and there's 4,000 to 5,000 people that are on the street any given night. So there's still a need for more shelter and more housing. Now, the HUD, the federal government, we don't get any government money. We're privately funded, but we're involved with our local continuum of care. And in every city across the country now, I don't know how much you're aware of this, Sammy, but the HUD, who funds housing for shelters as well as more permanent housing, is really pushing for housing first and not shelters. So it's moving homeless folks right into houses. Where our model is more of a housing next, where we try to stabilize people, get them up on their feet, get them jobs, get them the mental health help they need, medicine they need, stabilize so that they can move into housing at some point. And so it's a little different model than what the government's pushing. And so our shelter may be one of the few shelters down the road in Tucson to serve all 5,000. Needless to say, we couldn't do that. So in the course of a year, we probably give somewhere in the neighborhood of about 70,000 bed nights out. Our men's center has 102 beds, and we sleep 130 to 40 a night there using floor beds and mattresses and blankets and pillows. Our women's shelter, right now we're running in the low 70s for women plus their children total, of which about half are in the shelter and about half are in our those residential recovery programs. At the men's center, there's about 30 men in that restoration recovery program, and the remaining 100 men or so are in the shelter every night.
Wow,
so those are the
amazing
basic numbers.
Yeah,
meals-wise, we serve about a little over 250,000 meals a year. And
wow,
there's a lot of restaurants that would like to serve that many meals.
Well, I got to tell you, the food's really good, too, you serve. I've had some of it. Now, I tell you why, if I was there, we ate, and it was like we ate really well. And you have your chefs there are awesome, and that, you know, they cook really good food for them. So that's a really good place to go and eat. I mean, so it's not like you're giving them bad food.
Yeah, we try to give really good food. And here's the philosophy of our ministry, as you're aware of. There's a couple things that make us maybe a little different than some other shelters. The first thing is we're a grace-based program. And that means we do a lot of teaching, a lot of correction and accountability through teaching, not through punishment. It's not about rules. It's about relationships. So our mission is built upon respect of people who God brings through our doors. We show them respect first. And then we're able to get respect back, and they take care of the property, and they do what they're supposed to do for the most part. And when they don't, we teach. We don't punish. We don't threaten people. So our mission is very much a teaching mission with an opportunity for people to start changing from the inside out, for transforming from the inside out, not just living up to rules and regulations and looking good on the outside of the vessel, but on the inside of the vessel to be clean and to be changed and transformed to the image of Christ. So that's the philosophical and basis of what we do. The other thing we try to do, you know, we're saying about the food being so good, is one of the things I'm really big on, my mantra here, is excellence is under the Lord in all things. So that means I want to have not only good food, the best food we can possibly provide, but also a nice facility. And as you know, you saw our facility, our rooms, I always tell people are somewhere between a Hilton and a resort. We've remodeled a motel. It's been open now 3 years for the women and children. And the rooms are gorgeous, absolutely beautiful rooms. And women come off the street with a low self-image, thinking they're no good, nobody loves them, they've ruined their lives, and they come to a place that people they don't even know bless them with maybe houses and rooms better than they've ever had in their life growing up. And so we want to represent an awesome God, and so we want to provide things with excellence, whether it's the food or the facility. When people come in broken off the street, Sammy, they, as you know, they beat themselves up. They don't think they're worth anything. And if we say, well, we want you to come to our God, we serve an awesome God, and he's the provider of all things, and he created the universe, and then sleep on our lumpy bed and put a brick under the couch to keep it balanced, and we give people junk and junky food and junky clothes, what message are we sending to those who come to us? that we serve a junk God, a secondhand junk God. Well, I know you agree with me, Sam. We don't have no secondhand junk God. We got an
Amen.
Awesome God.
Amen.
So we want to serve him with excellence.
Yes, amen. You know, it's so true, and I got to say, the rooms you have out there, I loved all your different ones had a different theme, and they were picked so nice. I really loved the beach theme you had in one of the houses. I remember that one.
Yeah.
That was really neat. I loved that one. It was like my special one. And what you do with the programs, and I see, you know, what was going on. I was so thankful. I got to do chapel at the men and the women's, and I got to do some classes and stuff. And to see how you guys not only just bring them in and show them the love of Jesus and the excellent and the good food and all, but you take them and you love them. You love them through all the things they're going through, and you teach them a trade to go out into the world, and you help them get into housing. You help them do everything when they leave there. So you're not just that here's a place to stay, come to church, and that's it. You take them through the whole walk of everything they're going through in their life. And so you're doing the extra steps that a lot of people don't. I mean, you take them all the way through it so they can leave there and know that they're okay, you know. Not everybody's always okay, not 100%, but I promise you, I don't know your numbers, but I bet you your percentage of people ever coming back is really, really, really low, because you guys really take them that extra mile, which loving on them like Jesus would love on them and carry them through.
And we do, and even if they do slip and relapse or have a problem or lose their job and lose their house again, our doors are open. Their family, they come back. And whether they need a shot in the arm to get back on the right track, or they just need a place because they financially are hurting again, our doors are open. Their family, they come back, and we get them turned around again. Because, yeah, we all don't make it on the first time. I know the Lord looks down and goes, oh, Roy, you know, what'd you do this time? Not that again, you know?
Well, we're all humans, you know. We're all humans. You know, that's just the way it is. Hey, you know, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you have, you know, I know you have many successful stories, you know, of people that were leaving there or went to the program and graduated, and some went on, some stayed. But can you share one real briefly of one that you have that's kind of close to you?
Yeah, I have several that, you know, that it's amazing, just a story after story that I have. I put in my letters every month, and I have too many I can even put in letters, but every month I point to somebody who's yet another success story. And I happen to have one of the success stories right here in the room with me. If you'd like to talk to her, you can do that. Her name is Laura. And
oh, I would love to.
Laura would love to share her testimony and what God did through her here while she was at our mission, and what she's doing now and what her future looks like. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, awesome. Laura?
Hi,
how are
Sammy.
You? Hi, do you remember me?
I sure
do. Remember?
You still have a good gender, too, when I met you a year ago.
I do. I'm still going.
Yeah.
I'm still an Energizer bunny. You know, it's amazing you said that, because they all say that here, too.
You're on God energy, huh?
Yes, I do. You know, it's amazing. You know, I went from thinking I was going to die of cancer to being this person that can go out there and just totally do anything now, because with God, all things are possible. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, yes. Amen. That's for sure.
Yeah, so why don't you start by...
today.
Yes, I know. Praise God. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit of your background and what guides you to the mission, and then when you go through that, tell us, you know, about you getting, you know, going through the program and what you're doing today.
Well, I did come in, as Roy was mentioning, pretty downtrodden, and just had gone through a divorce and had to file bankruptcy and foreclosure, and began to try to rebuild my life on my own strength, which wasn't working. Time went by with my struggles to try to maintain just a home for my kids and myself. And as it went on, I did workaholic first, trying to carry three jobs, making soups to make ends meet, just to put food on the table for ourselves and to pay bills with. I was just really in a dire straits situation. Started drinking alcohol to kind of numb the pain, and it just went from one extreme to almost a death with drinking to excess. I did call 911 and was placed in a hospital, and Had the hospital just revitalize me with the nutrients and fluids from dehydration and such, and pretty much had a diagnosis of cirrhosis of the liver at that point. I was placed in a detox center, which I had visited for 1 year in 2011, about 21 times, just trying to keep the alcohol consumption down and trying to maintain things. As I was at the detox center, they had a brochure on the Gospel Rescue Mission. Wow. I read it. I thought, this place sounds fantastic. It was faith-based. My concern, though, was that it was a long term. It was quoted as saying a year to year and a half of recovery. And my thinking was, oh, I can't stay that long in a facility. But the Lord had other plans. So I had been here since May of 2012. I entered into the mission on that date, went into their long-term restoration program, where they loved me back to life, literally. I was pretty much on my last leg, physically, mentally, spiritually. Everything was just drained to its excess. And the program is absolutely awesome. And we were talking earlier, or Roy was mentioning, just the staff that we have here are blessed. We have such wisdom in the supervisor for the long-term program, the counselor, the Bible study teacher. Everyone has just been blessed and sent here by God, most definitely.
Oh,
so I had completed that long-term program. April this year, I was put into a graduation. I had a ceremony done here. They do it up really well here. It was just such a blessing. An hour and a half of just blessings from above. It was awesome. I can't even explain how beautiful that was. I have now entered into Pima Community College here in Tucson, Arizona, where I'm going to school for computer-aided design, and I have just been employed with them, the college, in their machining department as a lab technician, and I am also a recipient of a scholarship, which I'm heading up to Phoenix this Friday to receive through the Women's Coalition. It's their largest gathering in Phoenix. We'll have a large luncheon, and they'll present, we'll have to be on stage, and we'll be interviewed through the television networking. And so this has just been all, like, amazing. It just blessing after blessing has just come through coming back to the Lord and just finding my path again, where he, you know, my Bible verse is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I'm going to cry, sorry.
You know, I did a class on Jeremiah 29:11 when I was there. That was one of my favorite verses.
That.
Do you remember that? Yeah, that was one of my favorite verses, too. Oh, praise God.
Yeah. It's been amazing. It's just absolutely amazing what's come through just entering into, you know, his will and him providing this sanctuary for these women is just absolutely amazing. I also work on-call staff here at the front and in the children's chapel room, and just watching the women and the ones that come in on a, you know, just entering into the mission and knowing that I'm there to give them the good word that there is hope and that they can get through this. And so I feel even more blessed being able to do that.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. When you came there, did you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I was saved, yes, in 92. Yes, he had a hand over this. He knew that my, you know, the despair I was going through would not last. You know, he just kept his hand over me through the whole time. I know that for sure.
Oh, praise God. Well, you mentioned one thing that's so important for anyone listening out there, that there's hope. I love the word hope. Because hope,
ma'am,
you know, just explains so much. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope for you in anything you do, because Jesus does. There is plans for every one of us. And he has a mighty for
is.
Each and every one of us. If we just reach out to him and say, show me, you know, I'm yours, just show me. We all have a journey with him. You know, we all have an assignment. And it's beautiful once we realize, you know, what it is, and God shows us that. And when we go start going down that road of our journey and our assignment, our life is never the same. And it sounds like you're right on target, and I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that this facility is here. I wish there were many more like it. You know, my health was such in a deterioration that I don't think if I would have came here, I would have survived any longer. I had quite a tragic you know, liver situation, and also being out on the street for a little while also was something that could have, you know, put me in harm's way for sure. So this is a safe haven, most definitely.
Right. Laura's living in a transitional house. You want to mention
since the completion of the program in the main facility, I'm now transferred over to the transition house. It's so beautiful. It's such
it
a
is.
Blessing.
I stayed there. That's where I stayed.
Too.
Isn't that right?
Oh, that's right.
I stayed there. It was like staying at the Ritz. It's like beautiful.
Oh, isn't it? Yes, definitely.
Yes.
I
the backyard
so
is so peaceful.
That.
Yeah.
Like Roy says, it's, you know, the Ritz Carlton for us at that transition house.
I
appreciate
it. I know.
It
I
so
hope when I come,
day.
I get to stay there again. That's where I want to stay, right? If I come back out.
Yeah, we'll get a room for you. Although they're pretty packed right now. We've got, I believe, seven ladies living there. We can only take eight. So you better get your reservation in.
Well, I don't know when it's going to be. I'm pretty booked to the end of the year, but maybe next spring I'll come out and stay a week or so with you guys.
It'd be great to have you come out again and visit and see, reconnect with the ladies and the men here, because you also went to our men's center and ministered to our men, and you really did a great job, Sammy. It's not often can women relate to the men or talk to them like you did. You know, the men have some attitudes and problems with some women in their lives and some of their issues they come to the mission with. But you somehow just take that wall and break it down in an amazing way. And the men were so blessed when you came out here, as well as the women.
Yes, thank you, Sammy, for all that you do. Thank you so much for your part in this homeless, you know, the getting rid of homelessness. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, I was so blessed by being there. And I got to tell you that that is like that should be the model mission across America, because it is amazing.
I agree.
Let me ask you, yeah, it is. It's no doubt. Let me ask you something else, Laura. Tell me how you're giving back. I hear you're doing praise and worship, working on that.
Yes, I'm going to be heading out right after this interview to sing praise and worship at the mission, and that to me is a blessing too. I just love worshiping the Lord and thanking Him for all He's done in my life. And for these women also, and just encouraging them to just keep, you know, looking forward and looking up, and their lives will be under His protection.
Right. And, you know, another thing is, you know, don't ever underestimate the power of your testimony, Laura. Everywhere I've gone across America, you know, I've told my testimony. I've listened to many of them out there. And there's always someone. God has someone out there that you're talking to that needs to hear what you've gone through and how God is taking you through it, because it's all glory to Him. Everything that's going on in our lives is glory to Him. And what you can tell that He did for you, He can do the same thing for them, because, you know, He doesn't love you or them or anybody any less or any more. It's all equal ground. And He can help them and take them through their pit just like you were, and let them just go walk through it and have a life that, and the blessings that He has for them, because He wants to give us all the blessings. He wants to give us everything. He loves us so much. And I hope that anybody out there listening right now just knows it doesn't matter where you are, that He loves you exactly where you are. He took Laura for where she was and in her pain, and took her right through that, and look at her now. You know, testimonies are great to get out there.
You know, God is a God of restoration. He restores individual lives. He restores families. And to me, that was a great part of our graduation ceremony, is Laura's family. She can explain who was there and how God is putting those relationships back, because she was estranged from her family because of what she went through and the alcohol, and they pretty much gave up on her. So maybe she could share a minute of that.
That'd be awesome.
Yes, my mom pretty much was at her wit's end with me, and it just separation also from my children. You know, just their concern over what was I doing with my life, and how it was so out of control, and so yes, having them all attend and just so beaming with joy that you know I've come to this point now in my life, and that you know, and my mom, she's 81 years old, she said, I feel like I'm at peace now, you know, that she can see that I've done a turnaround and that my life is now on track. So that was awesome to have that happen.
Oh, that is awesome. You know, and also, too, I just want to tell you congratulations on you getting going to Phoenix this next week or whatever it is.
Thank
and
you.
Yeah, yes, that's amazing. It's Friday. Yeah, that's amazing.
That is,
you know,
amazing.
You know, God starts starting to take care of you, isn't he?
Yes.
That's a nice award to get. Now, Laura has to run off to do the worship now downstairs. But I want to, so you can say goodbye, Laura.
Okay, bye, Sammy. God bless you.
Bye. Oh, God bless you, too. And I hope to see you next year when I get out there. And you just go out there
I'll
and just sing your heart out for Jesus, okay?
All righty. Thank you.
Okay.
And so, you know, here's a woman, Laura, who came here, you know, broken and really hurting. And her family had given up on her. And how God restored all that. And now here she is, a college student, and also working and part-time. And making money and getting scholarships and getting these awards from this National Women's Society. It's going to be 1,000 people at this banquet. She's going to be getting an award for her hard work and her transformed life. And to show you, Sammy, you're going to love this story. To show you how God is a small world and how God puts things together, my wife's here, Kathy, who you've met. I want to tell you, she spoke at Laura's graduation. I had no clue what she was going to share. I was unaware of this story, but it shows you how God orchestrates things and the details of life and makes sure people are with the right people at the right time and so forth. So if I'd like to have my wife Kathy just share how she knows Laura from the past, a small world.
Oh, yes, that's awesome. Hi, Kathy. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, good. We're glad you're with us tonight.
Thank you. Roy just kind of sprung this on me.
Not Roy.
yeah. So I'll just give you a brief testimony of my own salvation, because I came from a home that was abusive and my father was an alcoholic. And when I was 7, I came to the Lord because of a man who was from Child Evangelism Fellowship, and he led me to the Lord. And then over the course of the next couple of years, my parents came to the Lord. And so my mother was an evangelist. She evangelized our entire neighborhood on every street of the neighborhood. And one of the things that she always did was every day she would shut herself in her room in the afternoon, and it was her prayer time, and nobody was allowed to bother her while she was in there. And my mother passed away when I was 31, and I found a very elaborate layout of her prayer system and all the people that she had been praying for a number of years, for 30 years that she knew the Lord. And there were families from my childhood listed on there, and all the missionaries we had ever known, and all of our family that didn't know the Lord. And they were all like diagrammed on this piece of paper. And so one of the families that was listed on there was a friend of my brother's, and it was the Sanchez family. My mom had been praying for them for years because my brother was friends with Fernando, and they played a band together. And so my brother has maintained his friendship with Fernando for 40 years, and Fernando called him one day long distance and told him that his sister had finally gotten some help and checked into a rehab. rehab center in Tucson, and it was the Gospel Rescue Mission. My brother said to Fernando, "Oh my gosh, my brother-in-law runs the Gospel Rescue Mission." And so that's how we found out that Laura was here. And so the thing is that my mom, who has been dead for almost 30 years, had been praying for that family. And here we are with Laura.
That is amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a God thing for sure. And you discovered it by all. That's amazing that you did that. That is so God. Our God is so mighty. He always knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
Right. Right.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's amazing.
Thank you, Kathy, for letting me impose on your time. I know somebody would like that, but you know how God works all those little details out.
I love details like that. I love to sit down and reflect. Now, that's a great story because that shows a lot of history with someone that's not even on earth anymore. They're in heaven right now. But I just go through the day, I will sit back and reflect, that's why that happened the other day, because today this happened. I'd already been lining it all up, and I didn't know why things were happening. And then when you figure it all out, it's like, wow, God, you are so amazing, And it's just amazing to watch and work. We don't always see what happens, what we're doing, but we just keep going and keep going. And he'll show you just a glimpse sometimes to know that you're doing right, or you just keep going and it's obedient, because he's got this. If we really, really, really know that he's got this, and we keep going forward, he's going to bless us and show us, and it's amazing. And one thing I found out being out here on the road for 381 days is the true meaning of faith. And if we have faith in God, he will take you through anything.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is, because I know that me and Kathy were on the road, and we didn't have money, and you know what? We took this tent. I've told this several times, but I still think it's a great story, too, is that we had this tent in our car, and we had two sleeping bags, and we took this because we didn't know what we was going to do. We had a little bit of money, but we didn't have much. We knew we had to save everything for our little bit of food, or if we didn't get to eat in the mission. Mostly it was for gas, and so we thought, well, we'll just sleep in the tent. And, 381 days later, when we got home, that tent is still brand new. The bag has never been out. And and there was days that I'm telling you, at 5 o'clock in the evening or 6 o'clock, we didn't know where we were going to sleep. And all of a sudden, it was just like God just intervened. And there's people, strangers on the road that we didn't even know, would see the car, because I had on there that were, first of all, we'd be in California, they had Texas plates, they had on there that were going across America to help the homeless, and then a conversation would come up, and then all of a sudden, they pay for a hotel, or we stay with strangers in their homes, or we got to stay in missions like we stay with you guys, and so God's a mighty God, and he just takes care of each and every one of us in all different ways, because he has something special for each and every one of us. It's not, none of it's the same, but all of it for his good and for his kingdom, and all of us together play a part to make it, effective for his kingdom, and that's the beauty of it, You're doing this over there, we're doing this over here, but it's all for the kingdom. It's one God with no walls and one mission, that's for the kingdom. So
that's right.
It's amazing. I love every day. It's just a great day, I just, but let me ask a couple other things, Roy, if somebody listening to the program right now, and you wanted to say, hey, how can you get involved with Tucson in your mission in Tucson? And what could they do?
Well, the world and be praying for us, and that's not tongue in cheek. We see God answering prayers every day. We see God's handprint here. Getting resources, volunteers, needs met, restoring families, changing lives, people coming to salvation, and that's through prayer. As Kathy's testimony was, and how her family prayed for the Sanchez family, and how God works. And so we need lots of prayers. If people are local or somewhere near here, we use volunteers all the time, as they do in any mission. There's 300 and some missions around the country, gospel rescue missions, plus there's other shelters in many communities, other organizations. So you can always get involved with your local mission or shelter. Serve the homeless in your community. There is, of course, financial contributions that are needed to pay the bills. We do have a lot of staff that are professional staff with degrees, and licensing, and people, and electric bills to pay, and gas for the vehicles, and insurance, and repairs, buildings, and so there's a lot of expense to do to operate a shelter and a recovery program or a restoration program. So financial gifts are always appreciated, especially with our organization, as many missions as well do not receive government funding. And we want to remain faith-based. We want to be able to pray with people every day, point them to Jesus, teach Bible classes, and we want to do that freely and not be tied down with a government grant that where we can't really express that unless they ask a question. So we want to be able to maintain that. And so financial contributions, volunteering, also many missions operate with donations, what we call in-kind gifts, that's clothing, household items, hygiene products. We, like I said, give out appliances, furniture. We give it to working poor families in our community. We don't sell it in a thrift store. We just like to bless others. So those are different ways that people can get involved here or at other ministries and shelters around the country.
That's awesome. Well, you know, do we have a caller out there? Hello? Do we have a caller out there for questions? I guess they went away. Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. I need your phone number, your website, or something so they can contact you. Why don't you tell me what that is?
Yeah, our website, that's the best way to contact us, is grmtucson.com. So it's GRM for Gospel Rescue Mission. Pretty clever, huh? GRMTucson.com. And there's information on their programs, information on how you can volunteer, where to send a donation, how to pray, what our needs are. And so you can be praying along those lines. There's one of the other things I want to mention to people and I'm sure you've seen this, Sammy, as you've ministered around the country. So many of our neighbors look down upon the homeless as a drain on society, not good people, no value. And yet what we find here with people like Laura was a great example. These folks are gems. They are resources in our community. They are assets to our community. They just need some help to understand that they are and how to get their lives in a position where they can become what God wants them to become in the community. Laura, you know, she's going to college. She's got a job. She's a tax-paying citizen. She is going to volunteer, I'm sure, at other places besides the mission, and she's an asset. But when she's on the streets, people would, you know, look down upon her and walk past her, as well as our other homeless folks, or have an attitude of, oh, they're just lazy bums. If they only got a job, by golly, I worked my whole life. Why can't I? I hear that all the time as I go out and talk to people, or they call and say, I'll never donate to you. They need to get a job. They're lazy. If you know the people and their stories, it's not a matter of laziness. It's a matter of childhood abuse. It's a matter of abandonment, neglect, physical abuse, spousal abuse, a lot of pain and suffering, grief and loss of parents and loved ones who've been killed or committed suicide or died of an overdose. And there's a great deal of loss, and people are hurting. And so they turn to, unfortunately, oftentimes to drugs or alcohol to numb the pain, as Laura shared she did. And so that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's brother,
right.
Mother,
right.
Father. And we need with compassion to love on people and transform their lives and turn them into the people and restore their lives to such that they can become the men and women of God he desires them to become. They're not a waste. They're not lazy. They need help. A lot of them, as you're aware, having worked the streets with the homeless for so many years now, many, I would say half of our or more, a little more of our clients and men and women that come here, our guests and students, are mentally ill. They're dealing with depression. They're dealing with PTSD from being in the military. They're dealing with bipolar, schizophrenia, dual personalities. You name it, they're dealing with it, and they're on medicine or should be on medicine. And we help get people on medicine that need to be. And we work with those folks and the doctors. And so people, you know, you're mentally ill, and you're numbing your pain with alcohol, you're not ready to get a job. It's not that you're lazy. You're just not in a position yet because you're not stable enough to get a job, which is why we do stability first and housing next, unlike the government's trying to push these days. So I just wish that people would, as you look at the homeless person on the street next time, turning the other way or judging them as a lazy bum, to realize that that person's hurting. Something's happened in that person's life that's probably been pretty catastrophic or ongoing. Maybe there's mental illness. Maybe it's a mental capacity situation where they don't have the mental capabilities to perform a normal job. And have some compassion and some love and reach out to those who are hurting and not judge them and condemn them.
Oh, praise God. You know, a lot of my shows, I've always said this, it's about awareness. That's what I do. You know, I really try to tell people, look, it could be your brother, it could be your sister, it could be your neighbor, it could be, you know, it could even be your mother or your father. It doesn't matter, you know, it could be you. And in my case, it became me when I became homeless. So I know that it can happen. And, you know, what is the face of homelessness? You know, I don't know. I didn't have an addiction. I had depression and other things that happened to me. Then I got ill. But let me tell you, you know, I didn't know. I didn't wake up and say, hey, I want cancer. I want to be homeless. Things happen in your life. Same thing with Lori. She didn't wake up and say, I want to be an alcoholic. None of these people do, you know. Things happen in your life. And you know what? It says in the Bible to show love above all. And love would help everything. You know what? And people turn their heads from the homeless. But you know what? They shouldn't. I tell you, my best friends are all the homeless population all over. I talk to someone in almost every state throughout the week, you know, because, you know, I love them. You know, I really love them. I mean, I don't think I'm better than they are. I want to help them and understand them, how I can help them get out of that. Because you know what? It can happen to you. It can happen to you. And you know what? People need to have, you know, they have all these things. Most people have a lot of resources to be able to donate to the missions that help the people. Some people want to go out and help the people like we do. But some people just are not wanting to do that. But they have the funds to go help people do that. So they can help that way. But you know what? They need to have some compassion for they're humans just like they are, you know. And people sometimes stereotype them as a homeless person, so they're bad. You know, it's like a biker is bad. Well, you know, I know a lot of pastors that ride motorcycles. They're not bad. It's just everything is so stereotyped in our world, which is so wrong. And you know, it's horrible. But you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of money and live in these big homes that need Jesus more than the people that live in the street. You know, think they're hiding behind their money and their fame or behind their big houses and their cars. You know what? We all, no matter where you are in this world, we all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. It leads me to something else that I'm going to do right now, because we talk about this. You know, we talk about they need Jesus. We tell stories about people's testimonies. We tell people where to go get help. But right now, so there's people out there listening right now, I want to do a surrender prayer for anyone listening right now, because sometimes people don't know even know how to say, hey, I know Jesus. So let's just take care of this, you know. Let's go ahead and just take care of this. You know, we're going to do a surrender prayer. But anybody's listening right now, I want to ask you guys a question out there. If you were to die tonight, how many of you out there know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Without a shadow of a doubt, you know for sure. Okay? You know better. How many people out there right now listening don't know for sure? Okay? So there's people out there that have an answer to either one of those. And also another thing is, if you're a Christian, you know what? We're all still sinners. We have to repent every day for our sins. You know, we're not perfect. We never will be. There's only one thing that's purpose, and that's perfect. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So what we need to do is either do a repentance prayer together, or we need to just ask Jesus in our lives or come back into our lives. We said when we were younger, we knew Jesus and we went away, and then we want to come back to Him, because we want to know, answer without a shadow of doubt, that if I was to die tonight, I know I'm going to heaven without any hesitation whatsoever. So let's all just say, wherever we are across the world right now, let's just say this prayer together. Father, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I come to you and ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I know that Jesus died on that cross for me and my sins. And I know that He rose in 3 days. Father God, forgive me and show me your ways. Make me whole again. I need you, Jesus. I will trust in you, and I will follow you always. Just guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen.
Amen.
No matter where you are right now, if you said that and you meant it and believed it in your heart, because you have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if you believe that, you said that prayer, your life will never be the same again. He's going to take you places that you will never imagine your life. So just reach out to Him. Reach out to Him above all. Because He loves you. It's just like when Peter walked on water, he was walking to Jesus, and he went to fall. But he cried to Jesus and said, save me, and he grabbed him back. Because we serve a forgiving God. He forgives you one time, 10 times, 20 times, or 30. It doesn't matter. As long as you know in your heart, and you're trying to do the very best that you can. But wherever you are right now, nothing you've done whatsoever, He doesn't even care. If you said that prayer, He doesn't even remember what you've done. He doesn't matter. You don't have to be perfect to accept Him. He doesn't go after the perfect one. There's not anybody perfect. He goes after you, the one that needs Him, right where you are. If you did drugs today, He still forgive you if you did that prayer. If you meant in your heart you wanted Him to be your Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. So we just right now just want you to know that He loves you. And if you said that prayer, you don't have to worry. And if you want to tell us about that, you want to call us, you can call us, talk to you about it. You can go to our website at 5252ministry.org and send us a shout-out to us. We would love to hear from you. It doesn't matter. You know, we want to hear from you tonight, tomorrow, next week, whatever. But we want one thing for sure, and we want you to know Jesus, because that's what it's all about. All the things we do, the food we give you for your body, the clothes for your body, we want you to have the spiritual food. That's forever. That's forever. It's like the beggar at the gate, beautiful. Don't just ask for that one day. Ask for eternity, because in the end, you have something to look forward to. You have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. When you leave here, you know you went to heaven. So we just thank you for all saying that prayer. We just hope we get to hear from you on that. Do we have a caller?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we? And who is this?
My name is Sharon.
Oh, hi, Sharon. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I had a question for Roy. I was listening and heard Laura talking about the long-term programs. How long is the program? Or is there a set time? Do you go according to each one's progress? How do you do that for the long-term program?
It's a good question. Thank you for asking that. Yes, it's an individual self-paced program. That's why it could take a year. We've had some graduate 9 months. Others have been here 2 years because they had setbacks, physical problems, or operations physically while they were here. So there's no set time. It's not like you start on this date, end on that date, because we all learn at a different pace. And so while we're in the program, there's two programs we have. One is a six-month short-term program, which is Introduction to Recovery. And there's some counseling involved and a few classes. But then people could say, you know, I'm sober, I'm stable, I'm involved in AA now, I've got a handle on my addiction, and I want to work. And then they can go out and get a job, stay at the mission, save their money for 2-3 months, have enough money to move out into an apartment. We help get them housing, affordable housing, food stamps if they need it, whatever, and they can go work. Others say, you know what, I need more help. I'm not solid.
30th, 29th. It was Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday.
Radio station here out of Houston, Texas. Welcome, everyone. This is Sammy Simo with 5252 Ministry Street Talk, live radio that airs every Wednesday night across the world at 9 p.m. Central Time. We want to encourage our listeners to call in and ask questions on topics that we discuss. You can reach us at any time while we're on the air tonight at 347-850-8955. Again, that's 347-850-8955. And if you would like to know more details about 5252 Ministries, you can contact us on our website at 5252ministries.org. And you can always go to our website, and we're going to have our shows on there if you didn't listen to them tonight, but we're going to have them archived on there just for you. Also, if you want to sign in on our guest book, we'd love to hear from you. So check us out. And we also have some really great guests tonight. I'll go over that with you here in a minute. But first, I'd like for us to get caught up on what 5252 Ministries is doing this month out in the streets. This coming weekend, we're going to be at Loaves and Fishes downtown Houston. We're going to have 5252 White Linen Dinner. That's where we serve anywhere between 250 to 400 homeless people on the street in the evening time. And what we do, we serve them. We don't let them get in the line. We let them sit down. We have white linen tablecloths. We have we flower arrangements for them. We have their food already. We have servants. Like, we go to a restaurant, we want them to be served from us. We want to be the servants for them that night. And so we're going to serve them their food, their dessert, and their everything. And then we're going to have church.
How you doing?
And then we're going to have a wonderful guest speaker there. We do that every single Saturday night. We have something going. But this is White Linen Weekend. So if you can make it out, give us a call. It's also on our website, or you can catch us at 5252 Facebook. So anyway, let's just get on to before we do anything, we're going to have an opening prayer, as we always do, because we know that right now, if we had, that we need Jesus to bless this ministry and bless this radio station. Father God, we just come together right now, Father God, for you, just to please just come and be present in this broadcast tonight, Father God.